We heard music of Justinian Tamususa, a Ugandan-born composer who composed that piece for the Kronos Quartet. It's called Ekitundu Ekisuka, a first movement of a quartet from the album called Pieces of Africa, starting off this hour with music. And now a conversation to ensue from two wonderful organizers and athletes. In fact, I'm talking about the curator for the Midwest Regional Alternative Dance Festival. If you're a Kalamazooan, you know it's the Rad Fest. Rachel Miller is the curator and the executive director of Wellspring Quartet and Dancers, which hosts this festival, is Kate Iancho. And Rachel and Kate are on the line with me now. Welcome to both of you on this Tuesday morning.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having us.
Good to connect. So first things first, the RadFest 2021 is a virtual reality festival starting at 10 a.m. Friday and concluding at 10 p.m. Sunday. So you have a big weekend coming up. Let's hear a little bit about the planning and what you think goes into making an interesting and engaging online festival with the pivot that you were forced to do by the pandemic. And perhaps, Rachel, you could start off with your thoughts on that.
Sure. Yeah, it's not easy for live performance to go virtual. You know, we've all had our fair share of ups and downs this past year with putting performances online and such. But converting the festival actually allowed us for opportunities that we wouldn't be able to offer if it was a live festival. For example, there's a lot of interactive content in terms of artist talk and audience interaction. We have Q&A sessions that we don't normally have at the festival, which audiences can participate within the chat function.
Oh, you really wanted that back and forth.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah, and I think it really makes it very accessible.
So that was yep. A big priority. Kate, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're trying to create dialogue. We want conversations to come out of this festival, and that's, you know, something that often happens in the lobby spaces and between classes, and so we had to really think about how do you create space for conversation when we're all on a computer. And I think this virtual format may even open that up. I think some people may be a little braver to type in the chat box and ask a question than they would be when they were sitting in the audience in our theater. So I'm hoping that this really empowers some people to get involved in the conversation in a deeper way.
That's a good point. It's not always easy to be there in person and raise your hand, but online, you're maybe a little braver. I should tell listeners that the website where you'll find the full schedule, and we're going to touch on a good part of it, is MidwestRadFest.org. MidwestRadFest.org. And that is where you'll find the button for tickets. You also have an email address for tickets, Kate, that you mentioned just now off air. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, it's tickets, T-I-C-K-E-T-S, at wellspringdance.org. So shoot us an email and ask us a question. We, you know, tickets are a little bit different this year, right? You're not just going to show up in the Epic Center and pick up a ticket and walk into the theater. We have a lot of different ticket options that include different aspects of the festival. So we want to make sure people have the right ticket for what they're trying to see and experience this weekend. So we really want to make sure that that happens and that everybody can access what they want to.
So you can email tickets at wellspringdance.org or visit midwestradfest.org.
Correct.
So the RadFest itself was founded by Wellspring Quartet and Dancers, and for a very good reason, a couple of really good reasons. First of all, it's juried. The performances in the past, I don't know about this year, but, you know, you have peers searching for the best quality dancers and dances, choreography, and it's an opportunity for artists to gain recognition and be celebrated for their work. Rachel, maybe you could tell us about that idea.
Yeah. Each year we put out a call for submissions, usually goes out in August for our March festival. And we receive, we're now up to receiving for a regular festival season, over 300 submissions. We have different categories of submission. There's, you know, the live performance. There's a youth category, so young dancers can submit work. There's also a screen dance category and an alternative spaces category for dances that were not meant necessarily to be seen on a proscenium stage or for a frontal audience.
Wow.
And, yeah. So there's several different categories. Uh-huh. We also are now adding a movement installation category for movement-based works that are meant to be seen more in a museum-like format, where people can come and visit the quote-unquote exhibit for as long as they want or for as short as they want. So it's really opened up in the past few years with all these different categories. And then I, every year, I recruit an adjudication panel of different professionals, dance professionals in the field that help me with my selections, because it's just a lot of submissions and I can't do it all myself.
Yeah, 300. Yeah. And the panel works. The panel works to categorize all these.
Yes, they do. They help me with that, and they help me put together a really good lineup. Ultimately, in the end, you know, I make the final decisions, but if I didn't have them, it would be very difficult. And I'm aware I have biases myself, you know, so it's important that I have all kinds of different voices.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, we all do. It's good to argue over some things.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that's just a tip of the iceberg of some of the planning that you've been involved with over the past 8 months since August, when submissions started coming in. It does make me think a bit of, I mean, you're describing categories that I hadn't heard of before. And it reminds me of how, you know, the Olympic allows new sport forms every so often, you know, the Olympics.
Yeah.
And over time, things really change and ways, you know, somebody's idea can actually turn into a genre is what it sounds like.
Absolutely, yes. You know, dance for the camera or screen dance is especially one that's been pretty popular over the last 10 years or so. That's a screen dance or a dance for a camera film is choreography that is made specifically for the medium of film or video. So these particular dances could not be performed live.
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work. And I think with the popularity of social media and all the user-friendly software and hardware out there in terms of filming and editing, they've just risen in popularity like crazy. So that was something we added, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, is the screen dance category. Yeah. But,
you know,
we keep up.
I'm still just amazed that Kalamazoo is the home of the longest running modern dance company in Southwest Michigan, and that this festival brings our town and Wellspring international attention.
International is right, Kara. This virtual platform has opened up some doors for us. Rachel was already mentioning that a little bit, but we have artists representing 6 countries in this festival that you can see their work. And we've sold tickets in, you know, several countries now already, because you can literally be part of this festival from anywhere in the world. And that's really exciting for us.
Yeah.
At Midwest Tradfest. That's an Irish thing. Sorry. MidwestRadFest.org has the full schedule. And the 10 a.m. Friday event is asynchronous content opens, which is a little dry for me.
You're gonna
have to, what is asynchronous content?
That is a very good question. It's so funny because synchronous and asynchronous were not in my vocabulary before COVID. And now I'm saying it all the time. we have several showings and events that folks can access whenever they want throughout the entire festival. And we have two different screen dance showings that are available starting at 10 a.m. on Friday and close at 10 p.m. on Sunday. And then also the performance movement installation is also available through the entire festival. So attendees can access the screen dance showings and the movement installation anytime they want. There's not a specific time that they have to log on and look at it. They can do it anytime. And that's what we mean by asynchronous. And then synchronous are all the events that happen at a specific time.
Well, it looks like on Friday, that is at 8 o'clock, although maybe a little earlier you can show up and start, you know, getting in the mood. It says pre-concert virtual lobby at 7:30 prior to the 8 o'clock Short Works Professional Performance Series. So this is one of the major events of RadFest in 2021.
Well, and yes. Kara, I'd love to talk about our pre-lobby time there. You know, because we talk about how do we connect? How do we find ways to still bring people together when we're all going to be sitting in our homes and our sweatpants in front of our computer watching this? And so we've partnered with Bell's Brewery, which hopefully everybody will go out and buy their Bell's and have it on hand to enjoy as they're watching the festival, because that's something that we pour exclusively when we're in person together. So, but before the concerts, we will have this space where people can come together, and then there's actually a live networking part of the platform that we're using for the festival where you can click a button and then meet someone new. It randomly pairs you with someone else who's logged in at that moment and who has said, I want to meet someone new too. And you get 3 minutes to introduce yourselves on your computer. And then it kicks you out, and then you get to meet another new person. And so we're really excited, and we really want people to take advantage of that, because it's we don't want to lose what this festival does for bringing all these people together. So we were trying to infuse these elements through it to get people to still be able to connect in this space.
Well, that's at 7:30 on Friday with Bell's sponsoring, and that sounds like quite a pleasant time with some surprises available as you're paired up with folks who are there for the same reason, which is to see modern dance living and well in Kalamazoo. Tell us, Rachel, about the concert at 8 o'clock.
The concert at 8 o'clock is the first in our Short Works Professional Series, and there are 7 different dances from 7 different choreographers. And those choreographers are from all over the country. And it will, they're all contemporary-based works, although I think we have one that's flamenco-inspired in that particular show. So while this is a contemporary festival, the works often are informed by or reference other techniques. And then the one on Saturday is 7 more pieces. So there's 14 pieces altogether in the Short Works Professional Series. And those are 7 different pieces, again, in the Saturday night show at 8. And each of those shows will be followed by a question and answer with some of the presenting artists.
So the showing, I assume, will be pre-recorded dances. And
yes,
but the artists will be on hand afterward to discuss the work.
Yes. We had wanted originally to do live stream for all of the dances, but then after we talked to Public Media Network, who's helping us set up these performances, they said, we don't know if that would go too smoothly since they're all over the country. And so we ended up asking for videos of the pieces. So the live streaming part will be the pre-concert speech and the question and answer, and then all of the dances will be pre-recorded.
At this point, I just have to say again, in so many interviews I've had with organizers and artists presenting work during the pandemic, PMN, Public Media Network, has been supporting so much. They are unsung heroes behind the scenes, but getting art on the screens of Kalamazooans and beyond, of course, worldwide. So I just always, every time I hear that PMN, I just have to stop and say, great job, guys, and thank you.
Yeah, I will echo that, Kara. Public Media Network has been just, I don't know where we would be at this point without them. So grateful for the support from their whole team and their expertise that they bring in these areas that we just don't know, and just their willingness to be creative and flexible and figure something out and try something new. So they are unsung heroes. You are right.
Yes. I think all the performing arts organizations in Kalamazoo owe quite depth of gratitude to them right now.
I'm speaking with the executive director of Wellspring, Corey Terry, and dancers Kate Yancho, and the curator of RadFest, the Midwest Regional Alternative Dance Festival, Rachel Miller, a longtime company member of Wellspring, Corey Terry, and dancers as well, who has been for months sifting through performances, designing a weekend, and it's finally here. It starts Friday at 10 a.m. and continues through Sunday at 10 p.m., and details are at MidwestRadFest.org. What should we talk about next? We've talked about the two 8 o'clock shows Friday and Saturday, which feature short works, professional performance series. Where do we go from here?
I think we should talk a little bit about Sunday, Kara, which focuses on youth performers, youth classes. We have an outstanding panel that Rachel has put together, just a great group of dancers and people to talk about what dancing after high school looks like for those artists in our community and beyond who are trying to figure out, like, how do I love to dance. What do I do next? How do I turn this into a career? And this whole day is dedicated to them.
How do you turn it into a career? What is the path? I would think it's really fortunate that young people have access to a modern dance company in Southwest Michigan, for one.
Yes. there are so many different experiences with dance after high school with different people. Everyone takes different paths, which is why I've gotten a panel together of 5 different dance professionals who have had completely different experiences after graduating high school and going on and dancing. But we're also going to discuss, you know, what if you don't want to make it a career, but you want to keep practicing in some form. So we're going to discuss that as well. So hopefully we will be able to give some good tips and tricks to all of the kids attending on Youth Day. And the kids also get to take 2 different master classes, and the youth performance is at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And those are all young dancers, 18 and under, either performing or as choreographers or both. So it's a nice opportunity for them to, you know, make work with integrity, to be able to show it at a place that's not a recital, not like a studio recital or a competition. And it's always, Youth Day is always my favorite because, now we won't get this because the dancers aren't in the space, but the kids are just so excited on Youth Day to perform and to be there and to talk to each other and to take class together. But it's always very exciting and always, I'm always inspired by Youth Day.
Is it special for you to see that the skills and understanding of modern dance is being passed on and reformed in some ways by these creative young minds?
Yes, it's very exciting to me. A lot of time, my experience growing up in a studio type of setting was that modern dance, you know, we had a couple classes here and there in modern dance, but it was mostly, you know, you're training in ballet, you're training in jazz, you're training in these
formalized forms.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now that's changing a lot now in this day and age. I mean, I'm in my 40s, so there you go. But
you had something to do with it, Rachel.
I hope so.
If you just tuned in, Rachel Miller is curating Midwest Radfest this weekend and has brought together a whole host of talent. And we're talking about Sunday, which focuses on young talent. Starts at 10 a.m. with a youth masterclass presented by Michael Parmalee, contemporary modern. Then the youth lunch discussion, dancing after high school, what to do with your skills and your training after high school. And then at 12:45, a youth masterclass from an artist, and I may mispronounce this, is it Maya Ajanku?
Yes.
West African dance. Is this an artist with training from Africa?
Yes. And she's also a professor of dance at Ball State University. Yes.
Wow. That's available to young people who register at MidwestRadFest.org. And then anyone can tune in and watch the youth performance series, which you said that's at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, should we head back to Saturday and go back in time?
Sorry, I took us off course, but I wanted to make sure we talked about that.
I got it, Kate. Yeah, I understand. I'd like to hear more about special guest artists that I'm seeing on the Saturday lineup, including Vivian Kim, T.I.O. Alston, Helanius Wilkins. Rachel, are you excited about these guests, and what will they bring to RadFest?
I'm absolutely excited about these guests. Vivian Kim is teaching a contemporary modern masterclass on Saturday. And then she also has a work that's in the, I think it's the Friday concert. And yeah, she's wonderful. I got to speak to her quite a while, while we did our tech rehearsal this weekend. And then we also have T.I.O. Alston, who's teaching the drum and dance workshop, and she's a Chicago-based dance artist. She's actually quite well-known. She was kind of a big get for us. We're very excited about her. And then we have Helanius Wilkins is giving an artist talk called The Dance of Social Justice. Helanius is actually our radical residency artist. We created a residency in partnership with The Croft, which is an artist residency up around the Petoskey area. And he was our selected residency artist this year. So he was going to go and create a piece up at The Croft and then premiere it at RadFest. That was the partnership. However, due to travel restrictions and COVID and all of that, that didn't happen. What he has been doing recently is giving this lecture series called The Dance of Social Justice. And it's basically a talk on how his identity and experiences shape his art, investigating, making, and performance practices, which are all rooted in resilience and resistance. And so he's going to give this talk, and it's going to be interactive. So the audience members can join in the conversation. They can ask questions. And we can discuss art making through the lens of social justice. I'm very excited about that one. And then we also have two other talks on Saturday. We have a screen dance panel, which is going to be a panel of some of the screen dance makers that are involved in this year's RadFest, speaking about their work. And again, it's interactive. The audience can ask questions. And then we have another artist talk by Alexander Jones, and he was the maker of the movement installation. And the movement installation is an interactive, performative website that he created. It's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure type of thing. I've never seen anything like it before. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Can you go and visit that installation before attending the artist talk about it from Alex?
You absolutely can. Sarah is part of our asynchronous content that opens up at 10 a.m. on Friday.
Okay. This is all at MidwestRadFest.org. Tickets are available there. And there are actually different levels of tickets for free content as well as ticketed or charged content. And if you prefer to contact someone via email, the address is tickets@wellspringdance.org. Kate and Rachel, we're at the point in our conversation where I feel like asking what's left. What did we miss?
Let's see, Kate, did we cover everything?
You know, we've covered a lot. We do, I think we mentioned it, but just want to say again that following the performances on Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 8 p.m., there will be artist question and answer sessions where the audience can ask questions about the work that they've seen. We will have some other networking opportunities in addition to the Bell's Brewery virtual lobby. There will be some networking kind of throughout Saturday so artists can meet each other. There's just a lot. And Carrie, you just mentioned too, we have tickets ranging in price from free, which gets you access to, you know, the screen dance performances and Alex Jones's movement installation and some of these talks, to, you know, an all-inclusive pass that gives you access to absolutely everything that's happening all weekend. So there's really, it's really something for everybody in this festival.
This might be a dumb question. Are there any events where, say, you click on the event and you move along, like you do some dancing at home yourself?
There actually, in Alex's website, there is a page where you can upload videos. And with prompts. He includes prompts, and then you make a dance video and you upload it to his website.
Oh, wow.
So there is some of that.
You thought of everything.
Yeah. The master classes are also movement-based experiences. So, yes. The answer is yes.
We are 3 days away from RadFest. It's Friday at 10 a.m. through Sunday at 10 p.m. And so much planning has gone into it. We've just touched on some of it. I can't imagine how excited you must be, how relieved you will be when Sunday night has arrived. And can I ask about your hopes for, you know, what impact a virtual festival might have, even though I'm sure you prefer to go back to in person next year? Do you think that this was a good thing just to accomplish? Because you could have canceled it.
Yeah, we certainly could have, Tara. And I have some hopes, and that it is that this festival gets so much attention and everybody is, there's so many more people that are excited about it, that next year we have to think about how do we all fit in the Wellspring Theater, which we know is designed for an intimate audience, and it only seats a certain number of people, and we sell out RadFest every year. So what happens if all of a sudden we have so many more people who want to experience RadFest? We have to figure out what to do with that. And I'm thrilled with this. Rachel and I have talked about a hybrid model going forward because we have been able to bring in a global perspective to this. Can we continue to offer some elements where artists in anywhere in the world could be part of the festival that also has in-person elements in Kalamazoo? So it's been a lot of work, but I'm really excited about being able to accomplish and where this might take us.
I'm really glad you embraced this idea and, you know, learned all those skills you didn't have to have before.
Learning curve.
I know. The least we could do is click on MidwestRadFest.org, take a look, and then participate this weekend. Rachel and Kate, so nice to talk to you.
You too, Tara.
Bye-bye for now.
Thank you.